Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome into Wednesday. Who were the smartest people in the room, as they say, during the 2018 midterms? Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal, took a look at the best political plays this time around. Josh, give us your takeaways.
Well, I think the most important big picture play was the fact that the Democrats didn't get trapped in talking about the Russia investigation, didn't get trapped into talking about President Trump. That was all baked in. There are a lot of angry Democratic voters, and they all were going to show up no matter what happened in any of the individual campaigns. But Democrats running the Senate and House campaign committees understood that bread and butter issues matter, and by talking about health care and, you know, their contrast between trying to protect, you know, insurance for those with pre-existing conditions, well, a big part of the Democrats' messaging across the country, understanding that those kind of day-to-day issues are much more potent for voters, for swing voters, than any of the national cable news fodder, was an important insight that Democrats understood early on, and it was a big reason why they won the House.
Point number two you made, explain the California power play that worked here for Democrats.
Well, here are the numbers. Democrats won 7 House seats. They swept almost every competitive election in the state of California. Orange County, which was the Republican heartland out in suburban Los Angeles, is now entirely blue after being a conservative stronghold for many, many generations. So one of the things they had to deal with was in the primary cycle. They had to deal with this unique situation where both Republicans and Democrats were on the primary ballot. And in some cases, there were so many Democratic candidates, they worried that Republicans could actually sneak into the election without actually having a Democratic opponent at all. Yeah. And what the Democratic Party did is they invested early on in campaigns. They negotiated behind the scenes to get some of the weaker Democrats and got them to drop out of the race. And they also targeted Hispanic voters in California that showed up in big numbers in a lot of these battleground districts.
How about that? I didn't realize Rick Scott's numbers in Florida in winning the Senate seat, how well he did with Hispanics. Explain that.
Well, here are the numbers, Gordon. 35% Trump won his Florida Hispanics in 2016. Rick Scott won Hispanic voters in Florida with 45% of the vote, 10-point improvement. That's the difference in the race right there. Scott won by the skin of his teeth, but it was enough, and it was thanks to the Hispanic vote, especially the Cuban-American vote, down in South Florida, remaining Republican and voting for him more than they voted for Trump. And keep in mind that, you know, there was a lot of talk about the Democrats nominating a very liberal candidate for governor in Andrew Gillum, and I think he helped energize a lot of new voters, young voters, African-American voters to the polls. But one of the attacks that Republicans used against Gillum in the governor's race was that he was sort of a socialist. He was very left-wing. And especially among Cuban-Americans who escaped from the communist regime of Fidel Castro, that attack, that socialist label, was very toxic. And the governor's race is at the top of the ticket, and I think Scott also benefited from being on a ballot with maybe a weaker-than-normal Democratic nominee.
Well, we're speaking with Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. He's written a piece entitled The Shrewdest Political Plays of 2018, referring back to the midterm elections. How about Mike Bloomberg?
We're talking a lot of statistics. Here's a pretty fascinating one. 21 of the 24 candidates Mike Bloomberg endorsed, all Democrats, and spent money on. One. I mean, that's about a 95% wow. Batting average, which is unprecedented in congressional politics. And even more importantly, his super PAC, called the Independence PAC, was the biggest Democratic spender in some of the biggest upsets in the country. So members and candidates that never thought that they would ever win, Kendra Horn in a big Oklahoma City race, Lucy McBath, who ran against Karen Handel and won by the skin of her teeth, Lauren Underwood, an African-American nurse who had no political experience, winning in a big upset in Illinois. The races that Bloomberg invested in were sort of the long shot races, a lot of them were, and he won quite a few of them as well.
How about that? Your point number eight, to explain this, the relentless independence of the moderate Republican governors.
Yeah, it pays to be independent if you're a Republican, especially if you're a governor. And look, even though Democrats gained 7 gubernatorial seats, they lost in Maryland. Larry Hogan won the second term, lost in Massachusetts. Charlie Baker got a second term, and lost in Vermont. Phil Scott, also reelected as governor of Vermont. So, you know, it shows that if Republicans, especially the governors, can show that they're not, you know, Trump Republicans, if they show a bit of independence, if they govern in a bipartisan fashion, they can actually win, even in tough environments and tough states.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal.